Welcome back into the worst radio host on the planet and Sam Levitt on 97.3 The Fan. I thought that my shin guard questions were decently fun, but apparently people are very angry at me for asking these questions. Like I was making a joke out of the interview. I definitely wasn't. People ask me, hey, you need to talk more soccer. So I talk more soccer, and then they make fun of me for talking more soccer.
I think it's fine. I think maybe it went a little long, kind of with the shin guard questions following the where did you play, what position did you play question. See, like, I took one of his answers. See, Scraby, this
okay,
is
I don't
like
want to go down your road. What I'm saying is it was the first time he has ever been on this show in the history of this show. We got to get to know the guy a little bit.
You're right.
Oh, you're just saying that so I don't freak out anymore. You're trying to get me back in control, which is not going to happen.
As the kids say, you're crashing out.
I like that, actually. Crashing out.
That's what the kids say.
That's pretty good. I'm actually doing this coming weekend. I'm going to be going to spring training on Sunday. And then on Saturday, I'm going to be doing play-by-play. It's not really play-by-play. It's more of like conversating during a Minecraft tournament for high schools here in the area. Sam's laughing, but you know it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
Do you play Minecraft?
No.
How do you know what to say?
I have been studying for the past couple weeks. I've been watching Minecraft things. I have done all of that. So.
So you're going to be here Sunday.
Sunday, yes. I'm driving out Sunday.
So
we morning.
Apparently may get dinner on Sunday night, is what you're saying?
Not anymore. Not anymore. No, it's all good. Yeah, we'll probably get some dinner on Sunday night. Chris and I are driving out on Sunday. Tony's obviously already there. And we're going to be doing some interviews from...
Now, you and Chris are driving together.
No. This is a major issue for us because I am not very... I'm not a comfortable human being, like, on long road trips or anything where I have to be with someone for a long period of time.
Did Chris broach the topic of you two driving together, or you just know without even saying it that you're not driving together?
We broached this 2 years ago because I asked not to drive with Chris to Phoenix. It was me who said I didn't want to drive with Chris to Phoenix. And then it all worked out where we took two cars and honestly...
Right, that's a good point. That's a good point, having two cars. That's a good point. Now you're not tethered to one another while you're here.
That's very true. He usually brings his wife with him, and his wife takes a couple days off, and so she gets to use his car, and then we go in my car.
That's a good point. Yep.
The one thing I'm worried about is on Tuesday after the show, we got to drive home. So, you know... I don't really.
What can I ask you a question? Why are you driving home on Tuesday night? Is that a Chris thing? Is that a you thing? Is that a they don't want to pay for the hotel another night thing?
I think that's it, Sam. I think that's the thing. It's not me or Chris. I would have gladly stayed another night in the Peoria area, but we are not, and we are driving home.
I mean, you can stay at the Airbnb here.
Nah. I'll come home. I got to do
Air
a show
mattress.
On Wednesday.
There is a couch here, but it's not a very big couch.
Oh, yeah. I'm almost 40. If I slept on a couch, Sam, my back would be on fire when I woke up in the morning. Come on. It's just how it goes these days. Diesel says, Scraby should have educated himself on soccer topics as much as he did Minecraft research.
That's facts.
That's facts! I hate you sometimes. We're not doing Chris versus the fans today because Chris is not here, so we will get to our Alanis Morissette qualification tomorrow at 5:30. We're going to announce the biggest fan. At the end of this hour at 4:30-ish, we're going to do the Big Five. The Padres just ended up losing, so we'll talk about that in the next segment. But NFL talk is back. We're actually going to get into it this time. And... lots of crazy things happening in the NFL today. Davante Adams signs with the Rams. 2 years, $46 million, with 26 of that guaranteed. He's coming back to the West Coast. Sam Darnold reached an agreement with the Seahawks. 3 years, $110.5 million, including $55 million guaranteed. Now, Geno Smith was traded to the Raiders last week, so that makes a lot of sense. And honestly, this is a perfect deal for Sam Darnold. He cashed in on a good year last year, and he's going to make $30-something million a year. He's not the top of the list quarterback in the NFL, so I think a $30-something million, $35 million AAV works really well. Myles Garrett, here's the one, Sam, that is really confusing to me, because Myles Garrett has been saying since the end of last season that he does not want to play for the Browns anymore. And he said that he will do whatever it takes to not play for the Browns anymore. Well, over the weekend, he signed a four-year, $160 million extension through 2030, worth $40 million a year, including $123.5 million in guarantees. The one thing that I don't like here, I don't mind that he stayed with the Browns, but just don't say all the things that you say, like, I'm never going to play for the Browns. I don't care how much money they offer me, I'm not going to play for the Browns. Well,
money talks.
Money does talk, so don't say it, because Myles Garrett's a very good football player. I mean, he said that he wants to go find a situation where he can win a Super Bowl. This is not the situation where he's going to win a Super Bowl. He should have gone in a different direction, I think, at least. Bills quarterback Josh Allen, they agreed to a record-setting six-year, $330 million extension after his MVP performance. I think that this is well-deserved. He should be one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the league.
I read something about that deal being fairly team-friendly. I'm not sure how to put it.
Because in the NFL, they've been doing a lot of these things where they restructure a contract and it ends up like giving you $30 million on the cap. But yeah, it is team friendly, because it waits things out over the life of the contract. And the Browns actually did this last week with Deshaun Watson. They had so much money tied up in him that they restructured it and they put a bunch of money. They were allowed to get a bunch of money on the cap, but Josh Allen deserves to get paid. I mean, that's just the facts of it. Now, DK Metcalf traded to the Steelers, and the Steelers paid a lot for DK Metcalf. Per NFL Network, the Seattle Seahawks traded Metcalf to the Steelers for a 2025 second-round draft pick. They also signed him to a five-year, $150 million contract extension with the Steelers. It's going to include four new years at $132 million and run through 2029. He only had 1 year left, but the deal was reportedly agreed upon before, or just days after, he said he wanted to be traded. I like DK Metcalf. I just don't know. 5 years, $150 million is really the way to go for the Steelers, but I guess that's what it is. The price for a good wide receiver in the NFL is this. Sam.
Yeah, I guess the Steelers quarterback is still Russell Wilson, right?
I believe he has to be. They don't really have a quarterback right now.
Well, it doesn't much help to have DK Metcalf.
No, because Justin Fields went to the Jets, 2 years, $40 million.
Jets.
So there's a lot of movement going on. And like, if we go back to the Sam Darnold thing, this helps answer questions for the Vikings, because they have why am I forgetting
Michigan.
His name?
McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy. Jeez.
Being an NFL fan one time, Scrape.
Will you stop with this today? J.J. McCarthy was hurt last year. They said that he was going to be the future of the team, and so, you know, Sam Darnold.
And they also have Vikings have Daniel Jones as well.
They do have Daniel Jones, but
Danny Dimes.
Yeah, it doesn't really do anything for me. Daniel Jones, I don't think he's as bad as everybody else thinks he is. I think he was stuck in a terrible situation in New York, and he's still got some sort of playing left in his body, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. But yeah, that's all the big news around the NFL. I mean, the NFL is the only sport, Sam, where we can talk about it year-round. And for some reason, it just makes news all the time. All of the time. Like, baseball tries in the off-season, but they're not necessarily the greatest.
Well, I'll say this, and I know players are never going to agree to this, MLB players.
Salary
cap? But I much prefer, well, that, number one. is, well, we'll see when the new CBA has to be renegotiated, what happens with that, because it seems like we're going to have a battle about that.
Yep.
But one thing I do like about the NFL and the NBA is I like that free agency is fast and furious and quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it. I like this style of free agency. I'm not a fan of, in Major League Baseball, this long, drawn-out process that takes forever. It's a never-ending, months-long slog of rumors, and it goes into spring training now. It just is it's an exhaustingly long process, and to me, it just loses a lot of juice of your off season. I know the winter meetings, you know, gives you a little something, maybe a little, you know, kind of flurry of activity. I prefer this in the NFL and NBA. I like, as a fan, knowing, you know, heading into the final couple of months of the off season, knowing, you know, who's on my team, you know, having a real idea of that. I mean, you know, I don't know. That's my opinion.
No, it makes sense.
I like it better this way. I like the flurry of activity. I like the fast and furious. I think baseball's got really out of hand with how long this takes. But if you're the players union in Major League Baseball, look, you don't want a deadline. Like, that's been talked about before, yep. You know, a transaction deadline during free agency, during the off season. You know, why would you want that? Because once you put a deadline on something, that means, you know, that teams can say, oh, well, you know, it's either sign, you know, by such and such date, or you're not going to play next year, right?
Yeah.
So you have more control about what you can pay people. So they'll never agree to it, but I just prefer this. I really do. Than what has become such a long, drawn out MLB free agency.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we start hearing about it at the winter meetings, even before the winter meetings, but then the winter meetings have all these rumors, and then you might not see anything until like a month later. But you're right. That would be interesting if they were to like shorten the free agency period down to like a month. But as you said, players don't want that, because then they'll have to sign for what they don't want to. All of that. Nate says, MLB needs to take notes. NFL is something every month to keep the fans engaged. It's perfect marketing. I also think the NFL has lightning in a bottle, where everything works for them. It just doesn't... They're on their own level of popularity amongst the four popular sports here in the United States. Okay. Let's see. It's time for break. When we get back, I got to get Sam's opinion on this LeBron James, Stephen A. Smith stuff. I talked about it on the Scraby Show on Friday.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
All right, we'll talk about LeBron James, Stephen
A.
Smith.
Can we just talk?
The entire world has an opinion on what happened with LeBron and Stephen A. Smith, so that's what we will talk about on the Sammy and Scraby Show, filling in for Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Back here in the Odyssey Palace, at least Scraby is in the Odyssey Palace. Sammy Lev out there in Peoria, Arizona. The Padres lost to the Reds today, 9-3. Thank you, Sam. This was something that I was concerned about, this loss today. They gave up two runs in the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th. Jose Iglesias played today, so that was nice. Gavin Sheets homered. Fernando homered. But otherwise, Michael King went 2 2/3, gave up 3 runs, walked 3. Kind of a forgettable day for the Padres today.
Let's see here. Catching up on the box score.
Not for Gavin Sheets, sorry.
Yeah, Michael King, like you said, 2 2/3, 3 runs, 3 hits, he walked 3. Jason Adam, 2/3 of an inning, 2 earned runs given up, 2 hits. Bradley Rodriguez did not have a great appearance, though, in Major League camp. Inning, 4 hits, 2 earned runs. Struck out a batter, walked nobody. So, not a great day for the pitching staff in Peoria. But the good news is that...
it's spring.
It is spring training.
And it doesn't
matter.
Jose
Iglesias made a throwing error. Tyler Wade got caught stealing. Padres went 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. But Toddy and Sheets had a home run.
Yes. Sheets did.
Toddy and Gavi.
Toddy and Gavi, is that what they call each other? They have a radio show within the team.
Toddy and Gavi. Jake Cronenworth had a double.
Yes. And that's about it, huh?
That's about it. That's all I got for you. Didn't see a pitch.
I will say that the Hunter Green was in for four innings, so they at least faced major league pitching, like legit major league pitching. He struck out five, gave up two hits. He had a good day. So it wasn't like they were facing a double-A pitcher. They were facing a guy who's going to start on opening day. But that's what happened.
Yeah, Hunter Green, Tati's home run was against Green, and then Gavin Sheets's home run was against Anthony Santillan, I think.
Santillan?
Am I getting his full name right? Oh, sorry, Santillan. You're probably right. Tony Santillan.
Tony Santillan.
Tony Santillan.
He's a major league guy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's been...
He's kind of a traveler.
I think up and down. Yeah, reliever type, yeah.
All right, well, we'll get back to the Padres game a little bit. Just not very much going on with the Padres today. Now, LeBron and Stephen A. Smith have taken over the news cycle for us. And that's because Stephen A. Smith was at a Lakers-Knicks game, I believe. And LeBron came up to Stephen A., who was sitting courtside, and kind of, you know, pulled him aside, not really, in front of everyone, and said, "Hey, leave my son alone. You're talking a lot of trash about my son." These are paraphrased things that no one really knows what was said. But I took the side of Stephen A. Smith is not doing anything wrong by criticizing an NBA player. Bronny is an NBA player who was drafted in the first round. But apparently, reading reaction over the weekend, I am way off base because a lot of people are saying that Stephen A. Smith is too over the top on Bronny, and I just don't get it, Sam.
Yeah, I think there's points, I think, to be made with both sides of this. I think when LeBron helped orchestrate one way or another his son getting drafted by the Lakers and given an opportunity at times to be on the Lakers themselves and get time in NBA games and take the floor together, which is well within LeBron's right. He's earned that status to pull those strings. I think once Bronny is playing at that type of level, yeah, I think as a player, as an NBA player, he becomes fair game for NBA-type criticism, as his father has always been accustomed to, right? Whether you think the coverage of LeBron over the last 20-something years now has been fair or not, and there's probably a mix of that. He's been playing forever. We've known LeBron since he was in high school. I mean, this is going on, you know, 25 to now, you know, 30 years of knowing about LeBron James. I mean, it's crazy that he's still playing at this type of level. So I do think that talking about Bronny in a player sense is fair. I do understand from LeBron's perspective when Stephen A. starts making comments of the, you know, I'm telling you as a father, you know, when you're talking about kind of the father part of it, addressing LeBron as a father. More so their father-son dynamic relationship. I think that's where it gets a little tricky, and I think that is the part that you know, LeBron probably didn't appreciate and like.
Yeah, you can't talk about someone's being a father because you're not in his shoes. You don't know.
Yeah, now if it were, like, I would say the situation's so weird because it's such a unique situation.
It is.
I would say, if, let's say Bronny was more a part of the, let's live in fantasy land. Let's say Bronny was more a part of the Lakers, right? And let's say he was a rotation guy. And, you know, Stephen A. is just criticizing his play. Stephen A. is criticizing his role on the team. More a basketball sense. Then I think LeBron has absolutely no right to then go to Stephen A. and say, you know, keep my son's name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, well, hey, your son's an NBA player. I mean he's either an NBA player or he's not.
It's fair game.
I think what Stephen A. said, I think the alluding to LeBron as a father, I think is what really irked him.
Okay.
I think that maybe is a little bit different. You know, but in a general sense, I guess I would fall on the side of LeBron. You orchestrated this, you know, for better or worse, for your son to get drafted by the team you play for, to get him on the floor early in the season.
Make history.
You know, you got to accept what comes with that, you know, and, you know, we live in a climate and a culture and a sports media, media landscape where, you know, there are constant opinions being thrown out about everything. And, yeah. You know, I guess I would err on that side of being like, you know, look, this is, and LeBron's no stranger to this kind of climate. He's been dealing with it for forever now. So I err on the side of Stephen A, I think, but I understand why LeBron would have a problem with it.
I didn't think
and he's
about
protecting his kid. It's his kid.
I didn't think about the whole, you know, talking about LeBron being a father. I do think that's out of bounds. You can't be talking about that stuff. You can be talking about the NBA stuff. But when LeBron approaches Stephen A at a game, and Stephen A said this last week, he has my number. There's plenty of ways that he can get in touch with me.
Yeah, but I give LeBron
directed that LeBron's going to go down there and talk to him.
No, I disagree with that. I give LeBron credit for actually going face to face with Stephen A. Like, I'm fine with that. To me, that's more the thing to do than call Stephen A.
Don't you
where,
think that
nobody
makes,
can
that,
see it?
That makes more of a wave for people to talk about, and it brings more attention to everything.
It does, yeah. I mean, and LeBron knows that. LeBron knows that people are going to see it and film it. That's going to get out. You know, look. Also, Stephen A. You know, saying I wasn't going to address this, but it's got so viral.
That's also
ridiculous.
A huge,
let me tell you,
thing.
Stephen A. One way or another, whether somebody filmed it or not,
he
or anybody else
it.
Knew, was going to tell the world that LeBron, you know, addressed him on.
I think it would
you know,
be bigger news if Stephen A. didn't bring this up and was like, "Hey, it was just a conversation between us." That would be the bigger news to me.
Yeah.
Because he knew what he was getting when LeBron walked in. And my conspiracy mind also thinks, like, and I know it's not true, but what if LeBron and Stephen A are in this together? Just kind of going back and
they
forth.
They could be. They could be.
Yeah, if I'm Bronny, well, I'm not Bronny.
Look, I think here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that I think Stephen A. Smith has the ability to criticize Bronny and talk about him because Bronny's in the NBA. This is not just LeBron's son. Your son is an NBA contracted player.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever contract he's on.
In the first round.
Yeah. Second round. Okay. But your son is an NBA drafted player.
Yeah.
And I think LeBron has the right to want to defend his kid one way or another. And that led to that confrontation. So,
all right.
You know, I think both guys, I actually think, have the right to do what they did. LeBron can defend his kid and have a problem with things, and Stephen A. can talk about it.
That is true. That is the funny part about it. Is
did you see Stephen A.'s new extension at ESPN?
Not
it's like 5 years, $100 million.
Oh yeah. And he's also going to talk politics now too. So he got a clearance with that. I don't think any of these guys are worth that money. I don't know who is religiously tuning in to Stephen A. Smith every single day, paying his salary. I don't know.
Yeah,
$20 million
popular,
a year,
man,
is insane, and especially for ESPN,
first
who's
is,
losing
first
tons
take
of money.
Is very popular.
It is very popular. I'm seeing on the chat that Stephen A. Smith is 5 feet tall. That is not true.
That's not true.
I saw him at Super Bowl Radio Row. He's tall.
Stephen A. didn't look much shorter than LeBron.
No, he's tall. He's like 6'4".
He's a tall guy.
He's much taller than you think he is. He's not 5 feet tall. He's actually
look. I like Stephen A. I'll tell you, I like Stephen A. All right, I like showman, I like pizzazz, I like personality. It's the same reason I like Chris Mad Dog Russo. Give me a little show, give me a little pizzazz, a little personality.
Okay,
I like Stephen A. I'm a Stephen A. fan.
Me too. I like talking about Stephen A.'s crazy takes as well because it takes pressure.
$20 million a year.
Can I?
He earns it, though. They got him on everything.
They really do. I
they
turn
really
on the TV
do.
And I'm like, how does he do this? Like Sam, you
they
work 7 days a week.
Hey,
sometimes
you're paying a guy $20 million a year to talk on TV. You better have him doing everything.
Yeah.
You want to know what time is it?
It's break time.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go for it.
You know what? Did you guys talk about how Around the Horn got canceled?
We did when it actually got canceled, and then it took like 3 weeks to get canceled. But yes,
okay.
We
well, it got canceled. I was thinking about this. I'm amazed that Tony Reale, who I love,
yeah,
isn't it amazing that they never made him do anything else for ESPN? He only hosted Around the Horn.
That is amazing.
Name something else. I mean, I don't know why that is. Like, they never asked him, "Hey, you want to host SportsCenter? Hey, you want to call games? Hey, you want to do such and such? You want to host a studio show?" He has only hosted Around the Horn forever.
That is very true. I didn't ever think about that.
But I guess like Tony Kornheiser, you know, Mike Wilbon, they've all...
But does Tony Reale have like a different job? Is he a radio host on the side?
I don't think so. Those two shows, PTI and Around the Horn, amazingly went very unchanged for decades.
And they worked.
Like in a... Yeah, very unchanged. It really is incredible.
It's one of the few things that can go unchanged throughout the years. I also saw, we were talking about this last week, that Tony Reale was asked if he would take the NFL Red Zone job. Because
I saw that.
Because Scott Hansen might be going to NBC to do Olympic coverage and some other stuff. Chris and I said this. I know that someone's going to have to take the job, but I don't know who can take that job and be as good as Scott Hansen. It might take a little bit.
I could do it. And hey, NFL Red Zone, give me a call.
Give him a call. I'll go up there with you.
I won't talk as much as Scott. I like Scott. He does a good job. But sometimes Scott, I'm like, Scott, we see, we can hear. Just stop. No more talking. Let me just watch.
Yes.
And NFL fans, I promise you, I will get out. Stop talking when I need to.
Well, at least it goes in one place because it doesn't
NFL
happen
Network.
Here. Doesn't happen
You
here.
Have my number.
All right. Big Five.
I'm in. Sundays.
Is next. Yeah, you're kind of busy on Sundays, but not throughout the whole football season.
Not during the NFL season.
That's true. All right. Big Five. When we get back, Blake Snell said something about the Giants that he's really sad about. We'll tell you about it on the other side on 97.3 The Fan. We're just about an hour, just over an hour, or under, I'm sorry, an hour away from our biggest fan being announced. A new batch of names in there for everyone. I know that I take a lot of heat for the name being announced, and I have made everyone aware that I am not in charge of the names whatsoever. So we got some new names. We'll announce that a little bit later. There's a funny chat on the YouTube chat right now that came in during the break. If you want to watch us, you can just search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. And I'm going to put up this chat. And it says, Sam was saying that Scott Hansen talks too much. And TRM1 said, there's something so funny about Sam complaining about Scott talking too much. Sam is not... He is not short of words. We all know
this.
He's not short of words, which is a good thing for a radio host to have.
Well, the funny thing is when I do pre and post, it's a lot different because I'm alone.
Yes.
But so that's a totally different thing.
Totally different. I agree.
But when I do segments with you guys, yes, like you could ask me a question and I could go for 3-4 minutes without taking a breath. And then sometimes I'll actually apologize mid-answer for how long the answer is and then continue.
But that's why we love you.
To keep
that's
talking.
Why we that's why we you know, sometimes in studio I'm going to give out a secret from Tony, Chris and I. Sometimes we count how many questions we need before we're done with the end of the interview. I think the lowest so far is 3. 3 for like a 12-minute span.
Yeah, but here's the other secret, and I'm pretty confident in this. I think that you guys and Ben and Woods, I think that you enjoy having, there is a part of you that enjoys having to do as little work during that segment as possible. Like, I'm giving
you
essentially a
segment off. Why do you think the guys have you on as much?
right. Like, I'm essentially giving you a segment off.
Yes. You know, you're right. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Sam. I mean, he always has stuff to say, and it's always good stuff. But calling out Scott Hansen was calling the kettle black there a little bit, I think. So good comment, TRM.
Well, what do the listeners think out there? Do they think I talk too much in general when I'm with another show?
I'm not going to answer
that. You can
that.
Comment, you can tweet, you can Instagram, you can TikTok me.
Yes, TikTok. All right, we have the Big Five coming up. We need to start now to hope make sure Sam gets all of his thoughts in before the end of the segment. But first, we got a little bit of traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Reviews are in. You're all good, Sam. You're all good. Everybody loves your talking. Although Ridgy Mama said way too much talking from you. And you know what? Our worst critics, Sam, are actually people that are the closest to us, because my mom texted me and said, why does your face look so red on the YouTube screen? Mom, why did you text me that? It was not that red, so now I had to turn on the light. It's just like, now I'm thinking about how red my face is. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. My mom loves me, but shouldn't say that to me. Sam, do you get texts on the air from like your parents?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. Do they ever tell you that you look terrible while you're doing the show?
They've told me sometimes I look tired.
Oh, well, that's another way of saying terrible. I used to hear that all the time when I was a drinker. Oh, Scraby, you look really tired. Yep, I'm really tired. Everybody, I'm really tired. Jax, what happened to your face? All right, let's get into it.
Number five.
It was reported earlier today, Padres pitcher Johnny Brito is not going to be a part of the rotation race for the
start.
Who
reported that?
AJ Casavell.
I think I tweeted it. Okay, but
he
okay.
He did.
Sure,
Sam Lowe did. I saw this on Sammy Lev's Twitter earlier this morning, but Johnny Brito not going to be a part of the rotation race for the start of 2025. They're more focused on him being a long reliever from the bullpen. Sam, do you think Brito still has his best pitching ahead of him?
I hope. I mean, I don't think today was a surprise. By the way, I don't think it was like Mike Schilt confirmed it today, just yeah, based on a question that he was asked. But I don't think it's any surprise that Johnny's not in the starter mix. And I think it may be a little bit of need because Brian Hoeing doesn't appear to be particularly close to coming back. So if you want a long man, Johnny Brito, you know, certainly would fit that billing. I hope, you know, Johnny was okay last year. There were plenty of ups and downs. Wouldn't say it was stellar. So I certainly hope the best is ahead for him, and he can, you know, hopefully excel in a long man type of role if he's on the opening day roster.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Is his biggest problem his control? Burrito?
It's part of it. Yeah.
Cause
I mean, it's part of it.
I feel if he could find some control, he would be a really good pitcher because he has the other stuff that...
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it, yeah. I mean, he got hit quite a bit, so we'll see. I mean, I hope... Certainly, based on what he did last year, I would hope the best is ahead of him.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Number four.
Blake Snell recently discussed his free agency this offseason and revealed the Giants never reached out to him during the winter, which really surprised Blake Snell. He said, quote, I know Bob loves me, Bob Melvin, and I'm really close with Logan and Chappie, so I was shocked. I thought they'd come after me right away. I really liked it there. I was happy there, but they never even said anything to me, end quote. We all know it worked out, and he went to the Dodgers, but I'm up first. Why do you think the Giants chose not to bring him back? Number one, money, because he was going to command a lot of money. Number two, they've already seen that it takes like at least 2 months for Blake Snell to get going and be the guy that we all want him to be for $182 million. Yeah. I just think that the Giants didn't want to bring him back because they didn't have the money, and they kind of knew that. To not even contact him, though, is slightly strange.
I don't know that the Giants don't have the money. I mean, they ended up signing Willie Adames to a pretty big deal, and they've been trying to give out money for years.
That's true. And they tried to get Aaron Judge
they basically had problems getting people to take it, getting the guys they want to take it. So I don't know how much it was about not having money.
You're probably right.
I don't know. I mean, that's interesting that they would if Blake's telling the truth here, that they never would reach out, period. That does seem odd. I'm not sure why they would be want out of the Blake Snell business. I understand Blake, you know, comes with certain things that he's been as far as sometimes a slow starter, sometimes inconsistent, but when he is rolling and when he's at the peak of his powers, he is one of the best in baseball, as we saw in San Diego. And I think he's worth the money he got. I do think when Blake is right, I mean, he's unbelievable. So I don't know. I'm not totally sure why the Giants would never reach out to him and seemingly want out of the Blake Snell business without a discussion. That is odd to me, and I don't know why that would be.
Yeah, I don't know either. Buster Posey seems like a guy who gets along with everyone, so it's not like I can think of them not liking Blake Snell or anything like that. But I mean, that would be.
And by the way, even though he got off to a slow start, you know, dealt with some injury stuff.
Really strong.
Well, that, and also, you know, look, a lot of us talked about that, you know, Blake is, you know, like kind of a creature of habit. Like him signing so late, he was kind of behind. And I don't think a lot of us were shocked that it took him a little bit to get going. But, I mean, with that said, I mean, the Giants knew that when they signed him last year. So, you know, if I were them, like, I'd want to sign him and have him situated, and hopefully you're getting the best version of Blake Snell for the duration of the contract and in 2025 as well. I don't know. It's curious. I'm surprised by that, too.
Number three.
Former Padre and Dodger and many other teams, Trace Thompson is entering his 15th Major League season and is now trying to catch on with the Boston Red Sox, not Red Six. And he's making his case for it because he has been Boston's most consistent hitter this spring, going 9-for-23 with a team-leading 6 home runs and 12 RBIs. His 6th home run came yesterday against Braves right-hander Bryce Elder, which I always see Bryce Elder giving up home runs. It's just an unfortunate thing for me when I'm reading for him, actually. There is some questions as to Willier Abreu's availability for opening day after a gastrointestinal virus caused him to lose a bunch of weight. So let's take that out of the equation, Sam, that if Willier Abreu, then Trace Thompson likely will be the guy. Take that out of it. Should 6 home runs and 12 RBIs in spring training be enough to force his way onto a roster?
Not in Trace's case. I mean, Trace has been around a long time.
15 seasons.
He's hit a lot of home runs at AAA. He's hit home runs in the major leagues as well. I mean, he's had stretches where he's been a very productive power hitter, but has never really been able to stick with one team for a super extended period of time. I don't know. I think I've seen enough of Trace Thompson at this point in the major leagues to not get too carried away with a great spring.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah, I mean, 6 home runs and 12 RBIs is great, but I don't, like you said, it's a full season that he needs to be this guy, and it's not going to happen. And like you said,
I mean,
he's been on
a lot of teams, and he's been in baseball a long time. He's had a lot of AAA success. You know, he's kind of one of those classic kind of, you know, quadruple A up and down guys, which is fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get, if I'm the Red Sox front office, I'm not getting carried away with a great spring from Trace. Great spring from Trace Thompson. It was hard to say. Trace Thompson, whose brother, by the way, is in just a brutal situation now in Dallas.
Clay?
I do feel for his brother.
He went from the Warriors to the Mavs, and then the Mavs fell apart while he's there. Yeah, that is a brutal situation.
Yeah, he's in a brutal situation.
They're not getting out of that anytime soon.
I'm sure that when Clay signed there, he did not think that before the end of the first year of his deal that Luka would be gone.
I can only imagine that realization.
That. Oh, my goodness.
That realization that, wow, I'm stuck.
Oh, my goodness.
Number two.
All right, the Dodgers are coming off of a World Series championship, but they're making Dave Roberts the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. He has agreed to a 4-year deal with the Dodgers worth a reported sum of over $32 million, which will surpass the AAV for Craig Counsell when he signed with the Cubs last season. They've been discussing this for a while, and he's going into his 10th season. They wanted to get it done before they left for Japan, and they did. So, I'm up first. Should Dave Roberts be the highest highest paid manager in baseball? I think so. I mean, he's deep into every single playoff. Even if they lose, he still gets his team into the playoffs. He still has his team win 90 games a year. As much as I don't like his antics with Manny last year, I think that he should be the highest paid manager in baseball. What do you think, Sam?
I feel like Dave's got... has to deal with a lot of expectations,
mm-hmm.
a lot of personalities, a lot of star players, but, you know, I think Scrabe, you could manage that team and then win
I would hope
95
so.
Plus.
I would hope so.
So I'm going to say no because I think the job is...
too easy.
You know, I guess. I also just want to take the other side of what you're saying, so...
No, that's fine.
Make you look like the Dodger lover.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the Dodger lover, so I'll make you look like the Dodger lover.
And Chris isn't here, and he actually is a Dodger lover, so it's unfortunate. I'll get out of there. All right, Sam, have you heard about the Fire Festival,
too? You know
too?
Me too well. I'm like, yes. I'm getting at it. That's me. I get out of the discussion.
You do.
I don't want to be hammered by Padres fans.
Fire Festival 2. The Tourism Board in Mexico still says
I'm
they
going.
Have... Okay, well, this question's for you. They still say they have no agreement in place for this festival this large, and apparently tickets are ranging from $1,400 to $25,000, and for those looking for a VIP experience, a $1 million package for 8 people includes luxury villas, a private yacht marina, and a private jet to and from Cancun. Billy McFarland, the guy who set up the first one, is selling the event as a chance for redemption. Quote, Fire Festival 2 is about the adventure into the unknown, curating elite once-in-a-lifetime experiences, end quote. I'm up first. If you pay for a ticket and lose the money, is that your fault? Yes. Yes. This guy has been to prison for scamming people out of money. Yes, it's your fault. Sam?
I'm going. Sign me up.
It's not even a thing. You can't
I'm
even buy a
Fire
ticket
Festival
yet.
Too.
You're going to get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I'm going when he puts tickets on sale. I want to be in the next documentary. I
oh,
want to be one of the
you want to be,
front-facing. I'm going to make vlogs.
You're
going to
be
post on TikTok.
Angry,
I want to be at Fire Festival 2.
Angry Festival Goer 3 on the credits.
Yes. How could you watch the Fire Fest docs and say, I don't want to be a part of that?
I don't know how you could go to prison for this and then come out and say, I want to do another one.
Now, that's really the crazy part. Like, I can joke about want to go to Fire Fest.
Yeah.
But the idea that this guy gets out of prison, the first thing he does is say, let's do it again.
More in the 5 p.m. The happy hour next.
Billy's
interesting.
A character.